Ulterior.
Hi, everybody. What's up? How's it going? What's good? What's happening? All that great shit. I'm only recording this bit right now because I realized after finishing this episode, I didn't have, like, an actual intro that could segue into the opening song that I usually have, so that's basically what this is meant to be the purpose of. I do want to say this quickly, though, because, the day that I'm recording this, which is Thursday, February 20th, some news broke out of the NBA that Victor Wembanyama is going to miss the remainder of the season due to a blood clot in his shoulder. That is actually some very serious shit, and I do not mean to, like, downplay any of, you know, what that could mean for his future, for the Spurs' future. All I want to do right now is just be optimistic about his health and his recovery, and, you know, we'll go from there, we'll see what's gonna happen, and above all else, go Spurs go, and please get well soon, Victor. As far as, like, any bits of information that I wanted to touch upon for this podcast before the episode begins, I do want to say that the playlists on Spotify for Ulterior 2025 have been updated. Both the regular playlist that has all of the songs, albums, and EPs reviewed, but then also the Scenic Overlook playlist, which is going to be a little bit, you know, weird to navigate right now because of this album for this episode and the fact that it's not going to be on streaming for another month, but we'll worry about all that when we get to it. The playlist will be updated sooner than later, is what I'm trying to say. I think that's kind of all I wanted to get into. Please enjoy this episode. Thank you guys for tapping in, and I will see y'all on the other side. Why did I say that? So this is absolutely an episode that I was not expecting to be making this week, let alone this month, or even the next couple of months for that matter. I certainly didn't think this would happen anytime soon, but the magnitude of what I am talking about today, I truly believe, you know, warrants that kind of like that spontaneous effect on my end. And this is also a topic that I have no issue dedicating an entire episode to, because I could probably talk for fucking, you know, days on end about this band the same way that I have the other, like, singular record episodes in the past, like Bring Me the Horizon, Linkin Park, Poppy, Knock Loose, Sleep Token. I don't know if I've done it for anybody else. I could be missing somebody, but my point today is that I am here to talk to you guys about a record that I actually don't even know how many of you guys listening right now have heard it before, but, you know, hopefully you get a good sense of what this album is able to convey and its level of effectiveness through my words. And that is a very verbose way of me saying that I'm here today to tell you guys about Big Ol' Album Volume 1 by A Day to Remember. You just keep thinking about them. Okay, so let's talk about it then. Let's have this A Day to Remember conversation that I've never really had with you guys before. I've not, like, taken a ton of time in the past to talk about A Day to Remember, partly because there just hasn't really been anything to speak about. They have not had any new material before this record cycle since the... Okay, well, let me backtrack a little bit. You're Welcome was in 2021, and then Miracle came out in 2022, which I didn't speak about at the time, and then Feedback was a single last year, but I was kind of away from podcasting at the time that that single released, so, you know, I just haven't really had many outlets in the past to speak about A Day to Remember. It's not because I didn't want to, it was just I just didn't feel like there was ever a chance to. But because I have that chance now, I am going to basically go through every possible outlet that pertains to A Day to Remember that I've never been able to. So, you know, this is like 4 years of like built up discourse within me about this band. And I'm going to get through this as quickly and efficiently as possible. I don't want to keep you guys here for an extended period of time, but understand that, you know, I do have a lot of things to say about this band, because for almost as long as I have been into scene music, they have been like a constant and a staple. And I'm very certain that it's the same case for a lot of you guys listening right now, and then at large, a lot of people out there who consume alternative music. My story with A Day to Remember, and I really wish that this was like a lot more dramatic and in the same tone as, you know, when I told you guys about Linkin Park and how I found them through Dragon Ball Z AMVs and how that was like such a life-changing experience. My discovery of A Day to Remember, and this is just me keeping it in a stack, keeping it 100 with you guys, it's because when I was in middle school, there was a girl I had a crush on who was into them. And because of that, I took the time to like go to A Day to Remember's MySpace page and, you know, see like what their discography was. Who were they? Because I had definitely seen the name and the initials ADTR in passing before, but I guess I was just like, you know, somehow internally waiting for a reason to actually go out of my way to check them out. But I had that reason now. And so the very first song I ever heard by the band was Monument. And not for any real rhyme or reason. Like, nobody told me that Monument was a song that I would be into. It wasn't on A Day to Remember's MySpace page. I just, you know, somehow looked at the track list for that record, and then that's a song I landed on. And that, like, you know, connection, it very well could be the reason why, out of like all of the, you know, quote unquote older A Day to Remember stuff, let's say like pre-Homesick, Monument is still my favorite. It is still a song that if it comes up on shuffle, I'm like right there back in, you know, that memory space of being 12, 13 years old, whatever I might have been, and listening to that song. And, you know, not even anymore listening to them because of this girl. Now I was genuinely all in on A Day to Remember. And like very quickly, For Those Who Have Heart and Their Name Was Treason became these records that I could just cycle through at any given time and like feel like I now had this immense connection to A Day to Remember. And like, not even on some, you know, like predicting the future type shit, or like, you know, saying that I have like a ear for talent or whatever the fuck, but it was so easy at that time back then to listen to early A Day to Remember and understand that this band had like real breakout potential that you couldn't necessarily hear out of some other bands, or rather, like, it was just easier to envision A Day to Remember breaking out than, say, Bring Me the Horizon or The Devil Wears Prada or Chiodos or anybody back then. They just had these intangible elements that were so unique to them and felt larger than the scene that they inhabited. And then so when the band got into the rollout for Homesick, which was kind of like not messy, but like it's a little bit hard to kind of explain it to people back then, or people who weren't around for scene music back then. It was announced for like a mid-February release, then it got moved ahead of schedule, but then some of the songs were online before the album was out, and I actually think, like, some of the lyrics were also, like, misconstrued, and they weren't actually applied to the correct names just yet. And I say that because when another song about The Weeknd first came out, I think people thought that was Have Faith in Me, because it says Have Faith in Me in the chorus. I remember like Welcome to the Family, The Downfall of Us All, NJ Legion Iced Tea, and there might have been some other ones that were on MySpace very prominently ahead of Homesick's release. And it was just like, you know, each new song that I heard off of Homesick, I was just so blown away by this band and so captivated. And what I spoke about just now about there being like very obvious and clear breakout potential, there was no way you could hear those songs at that time and not think that you were listening to a band on the cusp of something that you had never seen before. And when I say that Homesick like took over the scene landscape back then, I genuinely mean that. the way that people today, or rather in recent seed memory, have looked at records like Taking Back to Eden or fucking The Death of Peace of Mind, Homesick had that mantle in 2009. They had that sort of stranglehold over every water that the scene was navigating, and it felt like a lot of what the scene represented at that time in that year, it went through A Day to Remember. We could see before us in real time this band becoming a gateway for a lot of people to get into scene music altogether. A Day to Remember was fucking special. They still are. Like, take away me saying was special right now, they are truly fucking remarkable. They had everything going for them. They had the right tour packages, they had the right presentation, the right marketing, like every facet that you have to nail to become a powerhouse band and a legacy act among us, they fucking delivered it. And what's crazy is that the cycle for Homesick, it really only lasted let's say a year and a half or so, because I remember that by the time I was a sophomore in high school, so now we're looking at fall 2010, there was already, hype and anticipation building for the follow-up to Homesick, which ended up being What Separates Me From You. And that album ended up being delayed from October to November, but in that span of time of the delay, we still got All I Want and we still got Second Sucks. And then the album did leak online ahead of its release, so, let's just say your boy was the very first person at school to be listening to What Separates Me From You and, kind of having some clout, I guess, in that regard, because, I could be like, hey, I've got this record and you don't, and whatever the fuck. And when I think back to 2010 for scene music, had it not been for There Is a Hell, Believe Me, I've Seen It, then What Separates Me From You would have been, number one with a bullet for Album of the Year for me. And I still think to this day, What Separates Me From You is the very best that A Day to Remember has ever sounded. It is my favorite record by them. It has my favorite song ever released by the band on it, which is This Is the House of Doubt Built. To me, it was just so emblematic of every step that I believed A Day to Remember had to take after Homesick to ensure that Homesick was not just a one-time thing and there was no 15 minutes of fame type shit going on for this band. I think they truly legitimized themselves on What Separates Me From You and made sure that they were going to stay in the conversation for one of the most important bands that the alternative scene has ever been able to have. And something else that I want to say about the What Separates Me From You cycle was that I could see for myself in high school that A Day to Remember was becoming Paramore or My Chemical Romance in terms of name value and notoriety. And there was a lot of people that I went to school with who they didn't really fuck with scene music like that, but they knew of A Day to Remember and they loved A Day to Remember. Free Dress Day at school, A Day to Remember t-shirts went platinum. You guys know the red Killer Tomato shirt? That bitch was everywhere. The band themselves were everywhere too. It really felt like the scene had found the band that was going to be the flag bearer for years and maybe even generations to come. The spot that Bring Me the Horizon ended up occupying, it really looked like that was A Day to Remember's. And, maybe it would have been had some things not unfolded the way they did shortly thereafter. And I'm talking about the Victory Records stuff and the whole lawsuit and how, we really didn't even know if the band would be able to release Common Courtesy, not just when they did, but at all. And I feel like something that A Day to Remember was able to do really, really well was have and maintain a very, very loyal and dedicated fan base that was going to be for them, every step of the way, no matter what. I remember being a senior in high school. This was around March of 2013, and the band started playing Right Back at It Again live. Then this is without any, sort of confirmation or comfort in the possibility of Common Courtesy actually being able to release. We had no fucking idea when the band would be back in their, their prime and their peak form. And I will never, ever forget that it was on a Saturday night in 2013, where on stage at an A Day to Remember show, Jeremy told the audience that they finally had the clearance to release Common Courtesy, and they would be doing so 3 days later on October 8th in 2013. Granted, it was only digitally at first, and then a month later, holy shit, that was the inverse of Big Ol' Album. That literally just hit me right now saying that into this microphone. And I vividly remember on October 8th being in my dorm room at Texas State, and as soon as it was 11 p.m. Central Time, that album was like in my iTunes library right the fuck away. And I listened to Common Courtesy so many times that day and so many times over the next couple of days, like trying to, you know, really have a clear understanding of how I felt about the album. And I say that because, and this is just me being very, very honest and upfront with you guys, I like Common Courtesy. Might be lying if I said I love it. And I know Common Courtesy, you know, is a big deal for a lot of A Day to Remember fans, and I totally understand why, especially if this happened to be your first album by the band. But just personally speaking, when I look at the track list for Common Courtesy, there isn't a ton that I actively go back to. You know, okay, Right Back at It Again, Sometimes You're the Hammer, Dead and Buried, Life at 11, like, those are the songs that really stand out to me. But then most of what, you know, surrounds those songs on Common Courtesy, I feel like I'd be okay without. Like, I don't think about those songs, I don't really go back to them. And then when we get into Bad Vibrations in 2016, I think it's an even bigger case of that. An album that I like, but I don't necessarily love. And I think that song had some really strong singles through, like, you know, Paranoia and Bullfight, Naivety. I actually do like Naivety a lot. I know some people don't, but I fuck with that song quite a bit. And, like, no funny shit, you guys know what my favorite song on Bad Vibrations is? In Florida, which is a bonus track, not even really part of the album. But In Florida, I've always thought was, like, such a really well-done deviation from the traditional sound of A Day to Remember. It's not like a song they've ever done before or nor since. In Florida exists on its own little island, and I love it for that. And then in some of the timeline after Bad Vibrations, I feel like that is where you can start to see, and no pun intended, please, the downfall of A Day to Remember, for complete lack of a better way of phrasing it. By the time that A Day to Remember did resurface for new music in 2019, it was initially through Rescue Me, which was the collaboration with Marshmello, and truthfully, that's a song that I didn't really enjoy at first, but over time I have definitely become more favorable to that song. One song that I have not become more favorable to in any way since 2019 was Degenerates, which was basically the first single off of You're Welcome. And I remember listening to Degenerates, it was the summer of 2019, and I was like, what is up with you, man? Like, what's good with you right now? What is this? It was just like, I don't even want to say, like, antithetical to what I knew A Day to Remember to be, because that's not why I dislike it. It's not because it doesn't sound like A Day to Remember. It just doesn't sound good, like, at all. I was really hoping that over time that song would grow on me, and it's been almost 6 years now, and I still personally cannot fucking stand Degenerates. And in the midst of all of this, You're Welcome was properly announced, and it had a release date attached to it of November 15th, 2019. And people were very quick to realize, as the days and the weeks came closer to November 15th, there was nothing from A Day to Remember. There was no sort of, like, further announcement by them. There was nothing by Fueled by Ramen. It was like, okay, they announced the release date and then seemingly forgot about it. That's really what it came across as. And then the day that the album was supposed to have been released, again, November 15th, they announce that in 1 week there will be a single, which ended up being Resentment. A good single, by the way. I quite enjoy Resentment. But even with Resentment being pretty good, and at the very least, substantially and remarkably better than Degenerates, there was still, like, you know, unrest within the camp of A Day to Remember and the fan base, because it was like, what is happening? Like, what is fucking going on? The excuse that was given about why You're Welcome had to be delayed was the artwork was not completed. Which, you know, maybe that's true, maybe that is the case, or that was the case, or whatever, but, like, that just feels like, it feels disingenuous to the audience to tell them that they can't have this album because the artwork's not ready. And I my tone and my cadence right now might sound like kind of annoyed, because that's really what it was at that time in 2019. There was, like, so much annoyance on my end towards A Day to Remember. And I wasn't going to write them off over this, but, like, I was just like, the fuck are y'all doing, man? It was so fucking bizarre. And then they release Mind Reader a couple months later during the pandemic, so it has, like, this animated music video, and then again, nothing. No announcement about music after that, but there is activity, just not the kind of activity that the band wanted, which was the resurfacing of some allegations towards Josh Woodard, who was the bass player for A Day to Remember. And these are allegations that, you know, pertain to the likes of, like, grooming and sexual assault. And these things not being addressed by the band very, very much so added to the annoyance that people felt. And it wasn't just annoyance anymore. Now it was, like, straight up frustration. And, you know, people didn't really know what the future of A Day to Remember was going to look like. And then around November of 2020, they did announce the new release date for You're Welcome as, I believe it was March 5th of 2021, and they had Brick Wall as a single, and then sometime after that, there was Everything We Need. And for this point of conversation, let's look at the sonic side of A Day to Remember and the music, because there's not a lot about You're Welcome that I look back fondly on, and I know people at large don't really do so either. I will say this, I fucking love the song High Diving off of that album. I think it's genuinely really good, and then I think Mind Reader and Last Chance to Dance are also quite, you know, remarkable. But then, like, fucking Only Money, Looks Like Hell, Re-entry, Everything We Need, it's like, these songs feel like so, so far removed from anything within A Day to Remember that I thought was, you know, still redeemable or anything of that sort. I just could not connect with this record. I could not identify with most of the material presented through it, and it really didn't help that there just felt like this big black cloud hovering over A Day to Remember, and it was a black cloud that they really did bring upon themselves. And then towards the end of 2021, and I want to add this point real quick, very good work on the fan base of A Day to Remember for, like, staying on the band's necks and not letting them not have some kind of response to the Josh stuff. When they got announced for an overseas Bring Me the Horizon tour that year, people, you know, brought back up these things again and once again wanted some kind of an answer. And as an additional layer to these other things that I explained about Josh, there was a manslaughter charge that came up with his name in it from 2017. 4 years after the fact, we now learn that he was involved in the death of somebody in a car accident. And that's where, you know, I think the band might have thought, like, okay, now this can't be avoided, now that this is known. And then that is when Josh exited A Day to Remember. You know, whether he stepped down or was fired or, you know, whatever it might have been, he was no longer in the band. And I think at that point, for a lot of people, A Day to Remember needed to, like, rehabilitate. And they needed to rebuild themselves and rebuild their image. And when it comes to like the, you know, the personal side of the band, that is nothing that I think, you know, will ever be like a one size fits all type thing. Everybody will forever have their personal feelings towards A Day to Remember. Some are okay with the band now and some aren't. And there's no need for anybody to ever, you know, try to sway somebody's opinion on that front. With the music itself, I always believed that would end up being very easy for the band to come back from, per se. The first step towards that came in the summer of 2022 when Miracle dropped. And Miracle felt like fucking, you know, splashing water on somebody's face, waking them up. And it's like, where the fuck have you been? Like, this is what we wanted. That fucking episode of SpongeBob where, you know, patties accidentally fall into the grill and the customers are like, this is what we've been waiting for. Miracle really had that kind of an effect on me and maybe others out there. Miracle was just a fucking stellar and outstanding song by the band, and it really, to me at the time, felt like one of the most pivotal things that they had ever done. And then this is kind of like a repeated part of, you know, prior pieces to this whole story that I've been telling, because the band then goes silent again for new material for another 2 years, and then last year they release Feedback. I will say this, unlike Degenerates, I really believe time has, you know, worked in the favor of Feedback. When that song came out last year, I really wasn't about it. Like, I thought it was fine, nothing atrocious, but I know a lot of people were on the end of, like, you know, this song fucking sucks. And even if I never had that strong of a negative opinion towards Feedback, it was also not the next step that I was looking for after Miracle. We really didn't know after the release of Feedback when something else would happen, when there would be new activity by the band. And I think that's just kind of like the notion with A Day to Remember that people have to have really been expecting over the last decade or so. You know, when the band is active, you'll know about it. And when they're silent, you'll know, because you just won't hear a fucking thing about them. And it's not out of the ordinary. I will tell you guys right now that I knew about the looming announcement of Big Ol' Album Volume 1, let's say over this past weekend, so a little bit of time before most others did. I knew about the album, and I knew about the double single of Make It Make Sense and LeBron. The idea of A Day to Remember having a song called LeBron, I would not blame anybody if they looked at that and they were like, what the fuck is this? Like, what is gonna happen? Like, is this a joke? Is this serious? I was super optimistic about it, though. Like I've always wanted to be very optimistic about the musical endeavors of A Day to Remember, because why wouldn't I be? You know, I just went on this whole spiel to you guys explaining how, since I was a teenager, they have been a constant in my life. So, you know, of course I want to enjoy the music, and I didn't know what direction this album would be going in. I didn't know what my overall feelings would be once I heard these two singles and then the album, and, you know, formulate some kind of an opinion to relate to you guys. So then now we fast forward to this past Tuesday, February 18th. I wake up, I check my phone, and I see that A Day to Remember announced the album. And I'm like, all right, cool. You know, that's what I thought they would do. The rollout itself, though, not at all what I imagined happening. And I guess maybe, you know, expect the unexpected with this band. Maybe that's my fault. So the album is available right now, physically. So through CD and vinyl, you can listen to Big Ol' Album, like, right now, whenever you want to. You just have to get the physical release. The digital release of this album is going to be in 1 month's time on March 21st. So a lot of people more than likely will not be able to listen to the album until then without having the physical release of the album, or knowing somebody with the physical release, or, you know, other means of like getting music to yourself. Does me reviewing this album right now mean that I have the physical release? Brother, that is a conversation for me and God to have. What is important right now is that I have listened to Big Ol' Album several times over by this point, and there are a lot of thoughts that I have about the album. The main one being, we are back. A Day to Remember is fucking back. And I can say with very certain confidence that this is the most that I have immediately connected to in A Day to Remember album since What Separates Me From You. I'm not saying that it is definitively better than Common Courtesy or Bad Vibrations, but at least in the present time right now, this is the best first impression that an album by them has made on me in 15 years. Before getting into the album, I do want to highlight specifically Make It Make Sense and LeBron, because those are the two songs over the last 2 days or so that I think you guys listening would have had the time to become accustomed to. Make It Make Sense is the opener for Big Ol' Album, and I think it works tremendously well in that spot, and kind of being like, you know, this really hard-hitting track that it sets the tone in a lot of ways for what you're going to hear on Big Ol' Album, but I think above all else, it sets the tone for A Day to Remember, you know, being what I said, which is back and being back in this form that I am very, very happy to see them in. LeBron, okay, like I said earlier, when I saw that they would have a song out this week called LeBron, I really, really did not know how to feel. I didn't know how to take that. I didn't know what direction this song would be going in, and if it would add to like the legitimacy or credibility of this album's sound or help diminish it in any way. LeBron is genuinely, truthfully one of my favorite songs by A Day to Remember in, you know, however many fucking years you want to go back. I think it is extraordinarily catchy and is so infectious and vibrant in all of those manners. The opening line on the chorus, bring home another dub for my city and run like it's 2016 and I'm LeBron, that has been like embedded and nailed into my brain and my way of thinking for the last few days. I think LeBron is a fucking outstanding song and a tremendous achievement by Big Ol' Album, which ended up having like a plethora of tremendous achievements. And I really believe that no matter like what type of an A Day to Remember fan that you might be, there is something on this record that is specifically meant for your desired palette. And I say that because right after Feedback, which is the second track, you have Bad Blood, which is very like anthemic in the chorus. It fits right into, you know, that more like modern metalcore mold that I would say. And it's just like such a good time all around. And there's definitely a lot of moments on Bad Blood where you're going to find yourself, you know, kind of like, you know, nodding your head along to. All My Friends, and I'm going to say this without it sounding like condescending, because I would actually mean this endearingly, All My Friends sounds like it is supposed to be a rock cover of a country song. And I think there is the chance of that being the exact cadence that Jeremy was going for on the chorus where he says, aw shit, here we go again, another night out with all my friends. It's like very, you know, like party inspired in that way. And I truly think that All My Friends ended up being like a really fun song to listen to and like marvel at and all that shit. And then right after All My Friends is To The Death, which is the heaviest song on this record. I would equate it to like, look at how Second Sucks operates on What Separates Me From You. I would consider To The Death to be the Second Sucks of Big Ol' Album. Very aggressive, very hard-hitting. The chorus is like so perfectly mixed in with everything happening around it and all of the chaos in that sense. And then it has a breakdown call that I think is going to go over tremendously well in a live setting. From the bottom of my heart, fuck you. And then the way that it just descends and combusts into that breakdown at the very end of the song, I think To The Death is an amazing track for A Day to Remember here. After To The Death, we have Flowers, which does kind of circle the album back to, you know, like a traditional pop-punk inspired A Day To Remember sound. I think it's very easy to listen to Flowers and imagine it, you know, having been on Homesick or What Separates Me From You or Common Courtesy. It's very throwback to that style of A Day To Remember, and I think Flowers is an outstanding way of kind of, you know, hearkening back to a time that a lot of people like really started to discover and love this band. Die For Me, I want to say like this song, it's one of the more like, I guess like danceable tracks on the record, but it's not a dance song in any way. It's a little bit more like of a, like a straightforward A Day To Remember song that kind of exists in that middle ground of like pop punk and alt rock. And there was actually an interview that Jeremy had done right after Bigel album was announced where he said that Ollie Sykes from Bring Me the Horizon basically like helped write the chorus for Die For Me, which is why he has a writing credit for the song. And with that knowledge, when you listen to Die For Me, I feel like the inspiration and input by Ollie, it is very, very obvious and noticeable on the song, especially when Jeremy is kind of doing like this, you know, electronic effect with his voice in a way for the harmonies in that chorus. I think Die For Me like really stands tall on Bigel album as one of its best tracks. And I don't say that just because of the Ollie effect, if you want to call it that. Same Team is where the song kind of, you know, starts to embrace some of its metalcore roots a little bit more, especially coming right after Miracle. I think Same Team has a lot of like very refined heavy elements going for it, and mixing in the verses that are like a little bit more subdued, I think Same Team ended up having this like wide array of influences and bits of inspiration that help make it what it is and really come together as like one of the strongest songs on the album. And then it's followed by Silence, which is the penultimate song on Bigel album volume one. In the social media review that I did, Silence is the only song that didn't get a 5, it got a 4, and if I'm being honest with you guys, please excuse me for having just hit my microphone right now, if I'm being honest with you guys, there's a part of me that even like just a couple of hours after making that review, I might bump Silence down to a 3. I think Silence has cool ideas, but the exact execution of it, I'm not really a fan of, and I can tell you exactly why. It's because the chorus feels and sounds to me like A Day To Remember doing Gojira, and to me, like, that is such an unnatural direction for this band. I don't think it worked out really well. It's not a bad sounding song, but I guess when I think about how much these other songs here have been able to move me, Silence is the outlier, and not in a good way. And then after that, Bigel album has its closing moment on the final track, Closer Than You Think, which is the longest song on the record. It's about like 420, 425, somewhere within that range. But it doesn't feel like that at all. Never once does Closer Than You Think feel like it's dragging, even with like somewhat of a slower tempo to what it's doing in comparison to the rest of the record. I think Closer Than You Think is like the exact proper final stamp on what ended up being an incredibly successful outing by A Day To Remember. And again, and I want to emphasize this so you guys understand this, this is the best first impression that an album by this band has made on me since What Separates Me From You. And that is a giant bit of ground that covers. But Bigel album, I feel like so connected to a lot of what this record was doing. And maybe part of that connection does come from, you know, me having some doubts ahead of the record's release, like not knowing, am I going to like this album? Is it going to be curtains for A Day To Remember as far as like, you know, being one of the most consistent and best sounding bands in the scene? Is this album going to be the death blow, or is it going to be the accentuation of their legacy? And I wholeheartedly believe that it ended up being the latter, and A Day To Remember just knocked every bit of this album, or rather maybe almost every bit, out of the fucking park and really delivered on something special and something that is remarkable, not just for, you know, new fans of the band, but also like the veteran fans, the ones who have been there since, for those who have Heart or Homesick, or, you know, whatever your point of fandom towards this band may have been, whatever time period it was that you jumped on the A Day to Remember train, if you are still there, then I think you were rewarded to the fucking utmost extent off of Big Ol' Album. And I know for a fact that, like, everything I'm saying right now, it's kind of just the beginning of my strong adoration to this album, because it kind of just like happened all of a sudden, you know, like a whiplash effect, because we really didn't have much time at all to prepare for this record or the cycle or the rollout or, you know, whatever the fuck it might be. So I'm saying all of these thoughts just off of a couple of listens in, you know, the last 20 hours or so. And I know that it's only going to go up from here. Who's to say that for as much as I like, you know, To the Death or Flowers or Closer Than You Think right now, maybe in a few months' time, I like them even more. And I'm talking about them as being like top 20, 15, or even 10 songs by A Day to Remember in the entirety of their discography. I don't know what the future lies ahead, or like what looks, you know, to be on the horizon for A Day to Remember, especially because, you know, as the name of this record indicates, it's volume one. There will be more to Big Ol' Album in the future. We don't know when it'll happen, but I don't think that should really be a point of concern right now, especially because some of you guys who are listening, if not all of you, have not even heard volume one yet. So volume one, it still has a while to go as far as, like, you know, settling in for a lot of listeners, and I don't know what the reception to the album will be once the larger general public have the accessibility to it, but I know that as it stands right now for myself, Big Ol' Album is the exact record by A Day to Remember that I wanted to hear and I needed to hear, and I never knew if I was going to, and that is what makes it so goddamn special to me. And that's it. Those were my thoughts on, you know, I guess not just Big Ol' Album, but all of A Day to Remember thus far over my, like, what, 18 years now of listening to this band. And I really mean everything that I've said about this album, you guys. I genuinely fucking love this album, and I cannot wait for all of you to be able to listen to it and experience it for yourselves, and, you know, you guys formulate your own thoughts on it, and whatever the turnout is, I know that for myself, this album is something very remarkable, very memorable, and it's going to stick with me for a very long time. Thank you guys so much for listening. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, and I will see you guys whenever this podcast resumes its weekly productivity, which, if we're being honest, I don't think is very, very far off. Thanks, everybody. See y'all later.